do we start these?
Welcome to a documentary podcast. Is that
Hi, welcome to another episode of the documentary podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Catherine. And we are back from our hiatus.
Yes, our unplanned hiatus. Yes. Where we both got very busy and then kept putting off making a podcast.
But hopefully this goes well.
Yes.
We're not too rusty.
We're back and we're here.
Yes.
We haven't talked in a while. This is our first podcast in a while. So I'm just curious, what have you been up to? What have you been working on?
I've been doing the same old, a lot of commercial work. Super busy towards the end of the year and then into January. I was doing something for Subaru, and then the Burger King one lasted quite a bit of my winter. So
how long? Because I've never done a big commercial shoot like that. And it seemed like you were working on that Burger King commercial forever.
It was over a month.
What?
Yes, for a one-day shoot. Yes, it was. It was just a lot of moving parts, and a lot of departments were switching over, so there ended up being extra work. That took up a lot of my life, and I'm hoping to sort of make a transition coming this spring and summer to content I would actually consume and sort of be more. That's more in tune, I think, with what I watch and my values. So,
what, Burger King isn't your values?
As a vegetarian, not really.
And you weren't making the Impossible Burger commercial. I already asked you.
No,
that, so.
We weren't doing that. Subaru was cool because that was all outdoor shooting. But I'm hoping, to do a bit of a transition soon.
Yeah, reasonable. I've been doing similar things. I've been making, real estate videos and things like that. And it's cool. It's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a rejection from Sundance for a grant I applied for. Womp womp.
Too bad. There's always next year.
Yeah, totally. And you always go into those things not really expecting to get it anyway, just because mm-hmm. there's so many people that want that.
Yeah.
But we still have this beautiful idea for a film that we're going to make. It's just a matter of how we pay for it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to happen sooner than later. So, and also I got to go to Mexico and shoot. I think maybe we talked about this in the podcast whenever I first booked it.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't think after.
Yeah. So I did go to Mexico and shot for a week this trail running adventure that we went on in the mountains of Oaxaca. And I have right now an hour and 9 minute rough cut down from 9 hours of footage. Oh, so wow. It was intense, but it's coming together and it's really beautiful. I'm super proud of it. Although it sounds like garbage right now because I haven't cleaned any of that up yet, but it's getting there. It's starting to look like a movie, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. So
when is that supposed to be, done and out?
By the end of March.
Oh, cool.
So, and we'll basically just be releasing it through the company that puts on the adventures, through their website and stuff. So, yeah. But I'm excited because it's actually, I got to make this thing and it actually, has humanity in it. It's not just trail running. It's not just adventure. It's about Oaxaca and all the people that we got to meet and spend time with and learn from, and how it affected all of us that were down there on this adventure. There were 14 of us, I think. The film really only focuses on maybe 5 of them. Mm-hmm. Just because, you see everybody, but one of the people didn't want to be on camera at all. So I basically just shot around her. So she's like a ghost in the movie. You see the back of her head every now and then, which was fine. I understand. But everybody else was really open to it. I got some nice interviews and got some good stories, and I'm really excited about it. So, but I think last time we talked, you said you were working on a documentary about bail bonds. Is that still a project that's happening?
No, that the directors have moved away. So that unfortunately has not happened. But I do think now that the commercial season is sort of in a bit of a lull that I want to make something of my own with this time, or at least start something. Hmm. So I need to start the brainstorming process of what I can feasibly make out here with a small crew. Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
I'm missing the sort of the creativity film right now, and wanting to get back into that. So
yeah, I could, I mean, I totally feel you there. Yeah, I'm kind of in that same spot where I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to, I have all these big ideas for films I want to do out of the country and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, but fortunately, like, the good thing for me is I still am new to this city I live in. So I feel like I can kind of use those, that kind of newness that's there still, you know, the not really understanding this place, to so
curiosity.
Use film to kind of, yeah. There's curiosity there. Where when I was in Denver, it was hard because I lived there so long, and I was like, I was like, I guess I could make one about people that develop condos.
Oh yeah.
No, I don't know. But no, there's beautiful stories there. It's just a matter of like looking around the things that. Looking around at the people around you and the interesting things they're doing and like not taking it for granted.
Yeah. And which, I think definitely telling like your story or the stories like immediately around you.
Mm-hmm. And that short film I did with Omaha Public Radio about the guy who was through hiking through Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since that's happened, I'm actually like going on and being a producer at Omaha Public Radio. So I'll be
producing
radio documentaries. So yeah.
That's awesome.
So that'll be fun because it's kind of a totally new medium for me, like just coming from podcasts, you know, to helping them launch their podcast, to making a short film with them based on a story that they were doing. And now I'm going into actually producing my own radio stories. So I have some ideas. I don't know which ones are going to get through yet. I start next week, but I have some ideas for things I want to do, like teaming up maybe with our local independent movie theater and just highlighting the films that are coming out each week.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Like a podcast that's kind of more local, like specific. And then talked about doing one. There's a really interesting history of like labor struggle in Omaha. And I want to tell that story. So those are what I'm working on right now. But what have you been watching?
So I have been watching a lot of short documentaries on, or like series on Netflix. So the Art of, I don't know if I've talked about these one, Explained. There's a new season out.
Yeah, those are good.
They're just so well produced and the most random of topics, but like very relevant. And then also The Art of Design, I really enjoy. Yeah. Some of the first season episodes aren't the best, but it gets a lot better the second season, and all the people are so knowledgeable and at the top of their industry, so they're just great to learn from. And then I've also been seeing a lot of narrative films. I don't know if, even though it's a documentary podcast, two that have recently come out that are more like realistic, are The Assistant in The Invisible Life, which I really enjoyed and would recommend seeing.
The Assistant looks really intense.
I was very surprised. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. It's just a day in the life, not a ton of huge plot points, which I really enjoy. You're just sort of getting a sense of this person's world and sort of seeing what she's seeing through her perspective, and sort of the injustice that's going on, and but not like the big events that you would expect because of what it's about.
Yeah, I just went and saw a documentary at our local movie theater that was like a special screening. It was Car and Driver put it out. It's about like automated cars, like self-driving cars, and the implications of it, and just the, you know, just kind of painting a picture of that issue. And it was actually, you know, there were some parts that I wish would have been better as far as like the labor implications, I think, were just kind of glossed over. And just coming from it, from like me being that being a topic that I care deeply about, I was bummed that it didn't dive into that a little more. It, and since Car and Driver put it out, there was a lot of like car porn in it that I just didn't care about. Just a lot of like, man, cars are freedom and like all this stuff. I'm just like, ugh. I'm like, I would be happy if we just didn't even have self-driving cars, and we just got rid of car ownership, period. Like, I think that's the way
to go. Not a bad idea.
Like, yeah, but that was interesting. It's still worth people seeing just because it really dives into the technology and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. And then another one I want to highlight that I really loved that I watched recently on Canopy is called Factory Complex. And basically the synopsis here just on Wikipedia is literally the lives of marginalized female laborers in South Korea during the 1960s.
Oh, cool.
So it just kind of talks a lot about the history of like factory labor and specifically women's stories at these factories. And I thought it was like really beautifully done. It kind of reminded me a lot of, which that's another film we got to talk about eventually. I'll talk about it. And since we're recording two in a row, I'll talk about it on the next one. But okay. I kind of saw that Anthropocene movie, but I'll talk about that in a bit.
I really want to see that one.
So this movie just kind of reminded me of like, if, Frederick Weissman was like, you know, South Korean and doing a film about factories in South Korea. It was kind of similar to that. Although that's a lie, because there's more sit-down interviews, but I liked the way it was filmed. It felt delicate. It felt like it was contemplative, you know. Yeah. But I really did like it, so I would suggest people watching Factory Complex.
I'll add that to my list.
Yes.
Or already did, actually.
Cool. Yeah, so definitely watch that. And I think that's all I'm going to talk about for now. Yeah. So we can kind of get into the bulk of what we're talking today, because specifically this episode is going to be a little bit longer because we have five movies that we're talking about.
Yes. And none of them are that short. And like when you watch them all together, it's a sitting. It's definitely a process.
And it's emotionally draining for sure.
Yes. Well, that's the Oscars for you.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're going to get into the main part of our film. So I think if I remember correctly from when we used to have a podcast, this is where a song would come in. And then now I fade us back in and I say, all right. So today we're talking about the documentary shorts from the Oscars. So before we start talking about the individual films, let's talk about how we thought about the programming as, you know, whenever you go see these at the movie theater, you go see five movies together. So what did we think about the choices this year as a whole?
As always, I think they could choose more lighthearted topics, or ones that just aren't incredibly depressing. I think they did a good job about it's so hard
true.
To get through.
It's so true. It really is.
And it's like 3.5 hours of, besides one of them, just...
Because I think they were all about 20 to 30 minutes long.
20 to 30 minutes long. Or 40, or a couple of them. I have the times.
Which is funny, because these motherfuckers tell you not to make movies that length, because you can't program them, and you can't get into film festivals.
Well, these ones did. But I think there was a good diversity in countries and topics. Mm-hmm. But just because it's a documentary doesn't mean it needs to be super serious. And I think, and this happens, I've seen the narrative shorts as well, and they do the same thing, where it's like the biggest tearjerker, the one that makes you just like have no hope in humanity. It's a lot. Yeah,
which is like kind of surprising that the feature documentary winner was American Factory, which is a film we talked about that I thought was actually like not completely depressing. It was actually pretty like really interesting, you know.
Yeah.
There's obviously depressing aspects to it, just like anything in life, but it was a little more like less trying to beat you over the head with all the shitty stuff. It was just kind of more presenting the thesis of the film, you know, basically, and just kind of showing it to you. Whereas I think a lot of these short films, the thing that bothers me, that I still loved each film, I thought was really, really great. I'm just going to say right off the bat. They were all really well done, you know, like I'm not going to like bash any of the films. But I do think that it's kind of one thing that I don't like about documentaries sometimes is whenever they just beat you over the head with like your emotions.
Or like, and they capitalize on the hardships of people almost.
Yeah. Exactly. So with that said, I thought that, like I said, I think all the films were interesting. I liked some way better than others, obviously. Mm-hmm. And with that said, the winner in the Oscars was the one I think we should start with. Mm-hmm. Or should we start with asking each other which one we hoped went won?
Yeah, I think it'll, let's do that.
If we don't, I think it's just going to come out anyway.
Yeah, and if we have the same one, we can talk about that one. But if not, we'll figure out where to go from there.
So I'm going to say, like, filmmaking-wise, and just a story that I'm shocked that I never heard before, mm-hmm. my favorite was In the Absence, the one about the ship that sank in South Korea. I had no idea about this story. I was shocked. I think Field of Vision does really interesting work, and I was stoked to see them up for an Academy Award. And it might not have been the most of the, like, observational things that I generally look for in a documentary, but I thought that it handled that big picture really, really well. But it was incredibly sad, of course. And mm-hmm. but I thought that they presented that in a more human way that wasn't just, like, I felt like they were just trying to tell me something rather than life is terrible. Just like they were trying to convey the humanity behind, like, a thing that we might just see as a headline in the news.
And give a voice to, like, an individual voice to the people.
Yeah. And especially the divers.
Mm-hmm. That, I love that thread line.
Yeah, because if people don't know, you know, maybe I don't know how much
we can just talk about that one. It wasn't my favorite. It was, I think, the beginning part was very hard for me to watch.
So it was about a ferry that sank off the coast of South Korea in 2014. Over 300 people lost their lives, most of them school children. Years later, the victims, families, and survivors are still demanding justice from national authorities. So this is just something that I'm surprised I didn't hear more about. I knew about the president being ousted for corruption and, like, a mm-hmm. lot of stuff happening with that in South Korea, but I didn't know about this specific story. And I think that, like, when that happens and then somebody can show you the humanity behind it, it just kind of, like, shocks me out of, like, complacency sometimes, because you hear terrible news so much, you're like, oh, this is shitty, you know? And whenever you can, like, get the humanity behind it and the way it affects the people who have to clean up these messes and the way it affects the families who lost their kids or their loved ones. And it really does a good job in, like, 20 minutes of telling that story, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's a good example too of, we often will read headlines or follow the news, like, right as it's happening, but then there's no follow-up. Mm-hmm. And you don't, like, most of this story ends up happening after the event itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, I had heard of the sinking, but then that was about it. Nothing, mm-hmm. I didn't follow up. So I think it was a good, we'll just stop there. I don't know what I was going to say next.
No, it was it was just good at doing what it did.
Yeah.
I thought it was good at presenting that story.
And it had really great, like, actual footage or audio clips of mm-hmm. the sinking, and it really showed the corruption and the lack of effort the officials made.
That was the other thing, the way that they got all of that.
Because if the government was so, like, not hush-hush, but, like, not owning up to what they did, I don't know how they, maybe it was public domain or something.
I was just, like, shocked they got so much of that, mm-hmm. like, information out. That must have taken, like, an incredible amount of work on their parts. I thought that was, that was really beautiful. And heartbreaking, obviously.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really well done film. And just from, like, a design perspective, like, I loved the way the editing was done. And whenever they had stuff that they shot, I liked the way they framed everything and the typography mm-hmm. they chose and stuff. Like, just from a pure technical perspective, I enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah.
What was your favorite?
Mine, I'm very shocked by it, but I just really liked the emotional thread throughout it, and I, like, really connected, I think, to the people within it. It was actually Walk, Run, Cha-Cha.
That might have been, like, tied for, like, almost up there, because, I'm with you.
I loved that as much as it was, like, sad circumstances this couple was living under, they found a way to like find something to keep them together. And,
yeah.
And it's not what you'd expect. So it's a couple from Vietnam who fell in love when they were young, then were separated by the war, and like eventually they got reunited in California. He left first and then brought her out. And as much as she was more outgoing and he was more shy, they found this like bond with salsa dancing.
And it's so beautiful to watch.
When it opens with them dancing, and it's kind of confusing, like, oh, is this just going to be a story about ballroom dancing or something? But yeah. it's so much more, and you can really see their connection like through the dance. It's very powerful.
I loved that film. I thought it was so amazing. Like, you're good. I started watching it on Vimeo because New York Times put it out, so it's just up for free to go watch right now. Which I think is also true of In the Absence, the one about the South Korean ferry. I think that one's on Field of Vision right now. And because Field of Vision just puts the films out, you know. They just have a collection of short films. Laura Poitras started it, who did the Edward Snowden documentary that a few years ago. Anyway, but Run, Walk, Cha-Cha, I started watching it on Vimeo, and then I realized that it was playing in the short film block, and then I was like, I stopped it, and I was like, I'm just going to wait and see it in the movie theater.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I did, because I don't want to spoil the ending for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but pause now. Go take 15 minutes. I think it's like 15 to 17 minutes long. Pause now. Go watch it.
It's so great. It's very...
Because I'm going to give some spoilers.
I cried
so.
In it, because it was so touching.
Yeah, so pause now. All right, it's been 17 minutes. Yeah. You watched the film, people. I gave you plenty of warning. So the ending, whenever they set up the dance, and it's like, because they have the whole movie's like pretty observational. It's like them at dinner. It's like interviews with them. And one of the things I really loved that they did is they had these interviews that were just like the audio, and then like the visuals were just them like setting up for the interview. So it wasn't just them talking to the camera. It was like, and I thought that was a cool little touch, like filmmaking wise. But anyway, then it gets to the end and you're wondering what they're learning. Like, are they going to a dance competition or what? And then you learn that like they're choreographing a dance for this movie.
Yeah.
And they're just in this room. It's lit perfectly. It's like, and then they do this whole dance routine and it's like set up just for the documentary, and you never see documentaries like stylized things like that. So it was really cool to see, I thought.
Yeah. And I liked how there was just like, you could see, instead of them just like telling the story of how, you know, they met and their relationship and why they're so close, you could actually see how they were so close. Like, you can't fake that connection, like in dance or visually. And it just added a whole other layer that just made it a lot more, I think, emotional.
Agreed. I loved it. Yeah. I thought that it was great.
And it was very well, it was very complete. Like, structured very well, had ups and downs.
Yes. You know, it was, like, beautifully shot. I mean, it looks great. And it just has a nice story. And there's, like, there's emotion there, and you feel, like, the struggles that they had, like, as immigrants and stuff. But, you know, that's, like, in the background of, like, the good stuff in their lives, you know, and having each other. And
yeah,
I thought that was really beautiful. And I think that that's like an important thing to capture in documentary as well. You don't always have to, like we were saying, beat everybody in the head with just like all the bad stuff. Yeah. So as we know, the winner of the documentary shorts at this point, because, you know, we're not going to surprise anyone because the Oscars were like 2 weeks ago now, was Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone, If You're a Girl. Do you want to...
give a little summary. So it's about a school in Afghanistan that teaches girls who normally wouldn't receive an education how to like read, write, do math. But along with that, they also have a skateboarding program that teaches the girls how to skateboard, and also mainly kind of gain confidence and courage that they can use in other parts of their life.
That's a good way to put it. So this one, I thought, was the most disappointing.
Yes, I'd because, say the same thing.
Because I thought the story was amazing and the women are amazing. And I feel like it was kind of squandered on not great filmmaking.
Yeah, it felt kind of student film-esque, and I think they had such a great story. And personally, as someone who like loves sort of outdoor sports and unconventional sports, it's taught me a lot of confidence as well. And like, women aren't doing it enough, or girls aren't doing it enough. And so I was like super keen for this one, but it was like, it felt super repetitive, not great shots.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know if this is terrible to say, but in the skateboard community, sports community, there's a lot of resources and grants I think they could have gotten that may have elevated the film in a way.
Yeah.
Or if they gave it a bit more time or something.
I feel like Vice has a documentary they do with, oh man, I'm forgetting his name. Something McCrank. He's a pro skateboarder anyway. And he has a documentary series called Post Radical, where he goes around to all these like wild places and how skateboarding is like changing communities. And unfortunately, he doesn't have one about, you know, this program, but I wish that he did, because that documentary is so well done about this kind of subject matter and how skateboarding, and not just skateboarding, but like, you know, sport in general can change lives. And I feel like the story was there, but it was like buried under some like kind of repetitive editing, I feel like.
And I didn't like how it did these weird chapters, and the type was, oh.
Yeah.
It was not the best.
Yeah, and just like the, you know, it's just all technical stuff that bummed me out, because like the content's there. It's just like, for me, it was just like not well executed, which is like a bummer, because I feel like this, I mean, who am I to say? They've won the Oscar and a bunch of people are going to see it. So maybe I'm wrong, but just for me, it was like the most disappointing, because the story, I don't think, was done justice by the filmmaking. And I think it won the Academy Award because it had the best story, which I also agree that it did kind of have the best story. But I feel like it won because of that, not because it was a great film.
I agree.
That makes sense.
And there was some great moments, though, when they were talking with like the parents of the girls.
It was amazing.
How supportive a lot of, like, some families weren't supportive, but then the parents who were super supportive, and just hearing them be like, I want my daughter to do this. I want my daughter to go to college. Yeah, I think was really good message, especially in a, you know, society like that, where it's not always, girls are not encouraged to do those things. And I wish they had led a bit more with that and included the parents' sort of struggles. They didn't, they put that at the end after all this like skate footage that, I mean, if they even just had some GoPros, I think would have been a bit better.
I wish they would have had better skateboarding footage for sure. That was one thing I was kind of like missing, is like, I feel like they didn't give the teacher her moment to like show off her skateboarding skills.
Yeah.
And I know she's probably better than how it was presented. But I feel like, I wish they would have like given her that, because I feel like she should have been put on the stage instead. Like what they don't know is, because these people probably don't come from a skateboarding background, is like all the skate videos that look so cool, you know, those people try those tricks over and over and over again before they use the one, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish they would have did more with her, like giving her like a skate video that she could be proud to show people. Instead, they showed her like falling a lot and stuff, which is like what every skateboarder does, but you don't see that in the videos, because I don't know.
I think that's a good point, because it's like ski videos are pretty similar to skate videos, and it's like cinematography is what drives the film. And so I think I was expecting the same of this, and maybe they should have had a cinematographer who had that like skate outdoor industry sort of background to really, because like even the little girls were like really good skaters for their age, but they didn't make them look,
but if you shoot the camera like wide, like way far back, and you just like watch them do the thing, you don't feel how it feels to be on a skateboard.
There was no energy to it
when you have a wide shot and you have somebody going up a ramp, it looks like they're going super slow.
Yeah,
but if you're on the skateboard, you are going really fast, and they didn't capture that energy that's being put out, and it killed me, because I just kept wanting more from it, and I wanted them to like make the teacher look like a badass, and they did such a bad job at like filming her skating that it wasn't the teacher, it was the filming.
It was 40 minutes long, and I think could have been 20.
I thought it was too long, which is like crazy, because I feel like there was enough story there for a feature film, mm-hmm. I feel like, but not the way they shot it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because they also divided it into the seasons of, like, the school, but that didn't really go with, like, the storyline or, like, the themes going throughout. So it was, like, very disjointed.
Yeah. Again, I think it won the Academy Award specifically because of the subject matter. Yes. And that was what was great about it. It was the women in the film. It was the girls. It was the teacher. It was the mothers. It was beautiful in that sense. And just the risks that they're taking, like, doing this. Like, these girls, like, going to learn how to skateboard and, like, and the women, like, doing this program, like, they are amazing. Like, that is incredible work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I was just bummed out that the film wasn't as good as the people.
I think it deserved a bit more.
Agreed. Let's talk about one that, like, I didn't love as much and then one that I loved more. But I don't know which one you loved more and which one you didn't love as much. So.
I didn't like St. Louis Superman as much.
All right. All right.
But both of them were just sort of like,
eh. Yeah, again, they were both great subject matters.
Mm-hmm. I just think Life Overtakes Me, like, was filmed better.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Life Overtakes Me, so a little bit about the synopsis. Hundreds of refugee children in Sweden who have fled with their families from extreme trauma in their home countries have become afflicted with resignation syndrome. Facing deportation, they withdraw from the world in a coma-like state, as if frozen, for months or even years. So, with this, I thought that the actual filming of the people was really powerful, and the stories were really powerful. The one thing I hated that my friend I went and saw it with loved, I hated all the B-roll stuff of, like the nature and stuff.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. Like, they were, like, using nature for transitions.
Yeah.
But there was no, like, natural element
to
any part of the story.
Well, I think that my friend said that what she thought was that it was showing whenever they were in the resignation syndrome that they were, like, frozen. And then later on it was, like, warmer and it was spring or whatever. And, like, after they were getting better, it was, like, melted away. Which I thought was, like... That was the one thing I hated about the movie, is because I just didn't think the nature shots were filmed very well. They were clearly on, like, a drone, and, like, I didn't like whatever frame rate they were shooting in or whatever, and the color correction I just thought wasn't...
It just took me out of the story. Like,
yeah,
this
me
was
too.
This was more about, like, society and culture and, you know, the just giant migration of people and racism that's happening because of everyone moving. It had it's nothing to do with nature. As much as I love nature, it's nothing to do with nature.
Totally. Well, and it just kept pulling me out of the humanity of it, which, you know, I think that's what we love about Frederick Weissman and, like, some of these observational filmmakers, is they don't feel the need. Sometimes it works and the abstractions are great, but I think they have to be really meaningful and well thought out. But the abstractions in this one were not great and they weren't filmed particularly well. And I thought that you didn't need it with how powerful the human stories were.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just make an observational film about these people experiencing this and not have to have the nature stuff and not have to have, like, I didn't particularly need to see interviews with, like, the doctors and stuff.
No, that I liked seeing the doctors interacting with the families.
Exactly.
And like a brief description of what resignation syndrome is.
Yes.
But besides that, it was more about them worried about being deported. And that would have been more that was more of a fascinating, I think, part of the story than the medical aspect, is like why they sought refuge and that process of potentially being deported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought that they tried to do. When they had such a powerful core, every time it took me away from that, I started to get bored.
Yes.
And I was like, shit, this is like that was the first one they played in the block. And I just remember like feeling like, oh no, because I just kind of started to get antsy. Like I was like, can we get on to the next movie? I felt like this is too long.
Well, I do think it was 40 minutes, which was a bit too long. And I think every family had a really important story and it was, you know, kind of terrible what they were going through. I don't think they needed to show as many families as they did. I would have preferred if they focused on like two versus did they end up, was it three or four they ended up doing?
I think it was four.
And it was a very similar story for each one, besides some of the children come out of the condition and some don't. I'm not going to say which ones. But it started to like feel repetitive and boring because you hear the story about one and it's very similar to the next. And I get how that does tell a story of this is a bigger problem and many families are facing it. But for the shortness of time, I think it just got a bit too monotonous in a way.
Yeah, so I would think if they took out the nature stuff and took out like the interviews with the doctors and just showed them interacting with them, and then maybe like if they did a better job at blending all the stories rather than just having them in blocks, it would have been a little better in my opinion. But, you know, again, it was like one of those things where it was like, it was a story I never heard before.
And I think it was a great way to talk about immigration right now. Like,
and there were some really, there were some really powerful, beautiful moments in the film. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It was not a bad film. I just did start to feel a little antsy on some parts.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to think like what trauma can do to people. And it's not, it's like children being affected. And this is, I think, going to be a bigger issue than just this like small situation in the film. Like with the amount of refugees we have now in the world, like what's the next generation going to be like? I think it presented a lot of good, like ideas within that.
Absolutely. So our last one, St. Louis Superman. Yeah, I guess like another story that I thought that the characters, the people, the human beings that were being focused on this were really interesting. And I loved the story. But it was, and part of this, like, I think this might be the problem with like the watching the Oscar short film blocks is that when the films are over a certain length, they all start to feel a little long. And I think that was the great thing that made Walk, Run, Cha-Cha and In the Absence like both so powerful for me, and they were my two favorites, and they were also the two shortest.
Yeah, it's true.
So I didn't really get bored during either one of those films, but I did start to get a little bored during this one as well. I think it's an important story. I wish I would have kind of just saw it on its own, but it was the last one and I was starting to get a numb butt and stuff. So I was kind of like, maybe it took me out of it a little bit, but there was some stuff I really loved though. I loved the rap battle.
Like, should we talk about what the film's about?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
So it's about, Bruce Franks Jr. He lives in Ferguson, and he's an activist, battle rapper, as you said, and he was elected to the Republican Missouri House of Representatives, which is an overwhelmingly white area. And so it's just sort of about his upbringing, him being in office, and then what that means with it, with someone who's not usually, or who you normally wouldn't expect to be in office, and his experience with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing and awesome to see these scenes where he's in the House of Representatives, you know, in the building, in the government building, and there's all these like white dudes in suits, and then you have this like dude with like face tattoos, this like amazing black dude with like face tattoos, and just looks, does not look the part of what we think of as being a politician, you know. And that's what's so great about the film. That's the thing I really love. I just loved him
and just like seeing a different image, an image we're not used to, which I think will affect people who are more like him. It's like if you see yourself on screen or in a certain role, you believe you can do that as well. So I think it did a great job at that. And also like having someone from your actual community who knows the issues in office, like he was passing bills or working on bills that really dealt with the issues his community was dealing with.
Yeah, and when they passed that bill like that he named after his brother, that was really powerful and beautiful moment as well. And I just loved all the stuff with his son, just watching him be a dad and stuff, and just how he interacted with his kid were just, I loved those moments. I think that when it comes to this one for me, like I'm not really gonna say anything bad about it because I did genuinely love it, and I hope everyone sees it. The only thing I didn't love about it was just, again, some of the filmmaking choices.
It just felt a bit less polished, I think.
Yeah.
Than some of the other ones. And I think, like you said, it being the last one and it being quite long, when you're at hour three and then it's another sort of sad-ish film, it was, I think if I'd maybe seen it first, I would have had a different opinion.
Yeah. I kind of want to rewatch it now, like, by itself. Just because I feel like, yeah, just in that situation and being film number five of, like, all these really intense movies, like, I did feel like it was probably the most inspiring out of all of them, like, as far as, like, this moment in time right now. But I think it was lost because it went last. And, like, I think that... You know, I hope it has a big life beyond the short film block and a lot of people are watching it and stuff. So, but I don't have a ton to say about it. I just think people should watch it.
They should definitely watch it. I think it's a good example of where politics should be going.
Yeah. And like people in their communities making a difference for their communities.
And like what we expect a person to be is not what they should be. Like you said, he's a rapper. He has face tattoos. And he can still be a politician. You don't just have to fit into one box.
Exactly. And we need more people like him. And more people that'll... And I think it's happening right now. I think we're at a moment where that is happening. It's a little sad that he's not in office anymore.
Yeah.
But, but yeah. Definitely watch it. But yeah, that's... is there anything else you want to say about...
I'd say they're definitely worth watching. If they come out, like, if you can stream them, I'd recommend doing it in, like, two sittings. I would not recommend watching them all at one time.
Agreed.
But definitely watch, like, I would say Walk, Run, Cha-Cha, and then the In the Absence, our favorites. Those are, I think, the standout ones.
Agreed. And I know you can see In the Absence on Field of Vision. And you can see Walk, Run, Cha-Cha probably on NewYorkTimes.com, but I saw it on Vimeo on the New York Times feed, so definitely go watch them.
Yep.
So with that, let's end this podcast.
We made it through one.
Yeah, so that does it for another episode of Documentary Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
Go to adocumentarypodcast.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at adocumentarypodcast.
You can follow me at Joshua LeBure.
And me at CMS Moments.
And on the next one, we are talking about
farming.
Two of our favorite films. Yeah, farming.
Sweetgrass. Sorry.
Yeah. Sweetgrass and The Biggest Little Farm. I almost said Big Little Lies, but that's an HBO show.
Yeah. Two very different depictions of what it means to be a farmer.
Yes. So, tune in.
Yes.
And then we have some other ones in the works. We're going to keep doing podcasts, guys.
We'll be back.